Over the past several weeks, we have been studying the seven churches of Asia, as spoken of in the opening chapters of the book of Revelation, and we wanted to bring the study to a suitable conclusion. And so if you'd turn with me to Revelation chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10 says, "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the series we have had, Lord, where we've looked at these churches, Lord, and your warnings to them, Lord, your commendation of them. We just pray that as we complete this series, that we might be further blessed, that we might just gain a renewed appreciation of your soon return, that we would live in the light of it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we've studied these seven churches, we've seen how much that the Lord knew them, and we realize that the Lord knows each of us individually. It speaks in Psalm 139, how the psalmist said that, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You see Psalm 139, verse 2, Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising, thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. And that thought that we have, that sometimes it makes us uneasy, sometimes it is a tremendous comfort. But just the thought that he knows us inside and out. He knows everything we do. He knows the motives behind it. He is fully acquainted with all of our ways. And that's why we see the psalmist said at the end of that same psalm, he said, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And that's as we've studied these churches of the Revelation, and throughout our continued study of the Word, we realize that Jesus Christ is a living Word, uses the written Word to lay us bare and to show us our need, show us where we fail, so that we might become more like Him. We see in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. that things are very clear to the Lord, and it's something that He knows our needs are before we comprehend them, and He seeks to use His Word to expose them to us so that we can deal with them, that we can have them met through Him. And He deals with us as His children. He chastens us out of love when we get out of the way, because He wants to restore us to fellowship. He wants to restore us to closeness. He wants us to restore us to usefulness if we've strayed away from Him. And it is a thought that he chastens us now because He wants us to get it right with Him before we meet Him, so that when we come before Him, that we aren't ashamed at His coming. It speaks of this in 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." And that's what he desires, that we would abide in Him and He in us, that we would be fruitful, and that He would be pleased with us when He sees us. So he works with us, He chastens us, he shows us from His Word where we're not measuring up to His standards for our own good, that we can learn from that. And we realize that, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, that judgment must begin at the house of God. That if God is to do a work amongst the lost around us, that He has to do, first of all, a work amongst us as His people. And we see from these passages we've read of the seven churches of Asia, how much there is that the Lord wanted them to deal with. And it is something that it gives us pause. It makes us think. It challenges our thinking and helps us to become better Christians. And we realize, first of all, as we look through these different churches, we realize that God, if we do something for Him, it's not forgotten. It's not overlooked. It says in Hebrews 6 verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister." And that's the thought, that he recognizes what we do, and He honors that. But He also judges what we do, where we can be better, where we are lacking in something, that it is something that we realize that no time in our Christian life is there a point that we attain, that we reach the point of sinless perfection this side of glory, that we can't grow anymore. So often we grow for a while, and then we kind of plateau, and we think, well, that's all the growing I need to do for a while. But the Lord wants us to always go a bit further, and that we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's always something that we see, even with Job, how he was a perfect and upright man, that the Lord had him go through these trials because there was something more that He wanted to perfect in him, more that He wanted to learn from. And so we see that with these churches in Ephesus, of how there are things that they had to learn, things that they had to grow in. And if we want to take specifically a lesson from each one, we think first of Ephesus, that as with them, that we need to beware that we do not leave our first love. That they were a good church, strong and faithful in the things of God, but somewhere along the way they lost track of what they were doing, their purpose for their ministry. And so it is something that we need to be wary of that ourselves. We think of Smyrna, that it is thought that we need to endure through tribulation and difficulty, that they are having a hard time of it, but the Lord challenged them to just stay faithful, to keep going, that they were commended for their faithfulness in even in difficult times. We look at Pergamos and Thyatira. We see that we must be wary of false doctrine and ungodly practice, that they struggled with the Nicolaitans, with the doctrine of Balaam, with that woman Jezebel, that as a church that we need to be holy in practice, holy in doctrine, that we are to be a testimony to the Lord, we are to be His representatives on this earth, and that we are hold fast to the faithful word as we have been taught. And we think of the churches of Sardis and Laodicea that received no commendation, only condemnation, that It was something that both of them, that they thought that they were doing well, that Sardis had a name that lived, it was dead. And Laodicea thought it was rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, where God said it was poor and wretched and blind and naked. And it's something that we don't want to make assumptions. We don't want to think that we're doing fine when the Lord's trying to show us places that we need to grow in, places that we need to advance in. And it's such a sad commentary with the church of Laodicea that it has at the end where Jesus is at the door knocking, that they're continuing on with their business as a church, but He's on the outside wanting them to allow Him to come in and be a part of it, that they have separated Him from that. And I think finally of Philadelphia, the church that was a little church, it had a little strength, and the Lord put before it an open door because of their faithful, that we want to learn from them in that way. And we see that in Revelation 3 verse 8, 3 verse 11 actually, and this was just as he was summing up his letter to the church of Philadelphia. He said, "Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." And that is what we see repeated again and again in this chapter that we read in Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of the book of Revelation, the last chapter of God's inspired word, that He, you know that the Lord doesn't waste words. When He repeats something, then it's important that we remember. When He repeats it several times, you see the importance of it only multiplied. That He says, "Behold, I come quickly." Verse 12 of Revelation 22, "And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." That He is coming back, that He is going to judge all men. He's the judge of the quick and the dead, the saved and the lost. And we see that we are to be ready for His appearance. And it is something that we understand, of course. It says, "Behold, I come quickly," that we look, well, that was said 2,000 years ago. That doesn't seem to be all that quickly. And I remember one of the kids I used to go to school with, that he had a saying, and it was, of course, he was not a young man that was saved by any stretch. It was to mock, and he said, he would say to someone, "Well, you're slower than the second coming of Christ." And we wonder and we think, well, he said, "Behold, I come quickly." And we think, well, is that true? But we realize it is still as true as it ever was. And it's something that we simply do not understand, God's timing, and that He shall come suddenly when we do not expect it. If you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter himself speaks specifically to this idea. 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 3, it says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." That he meets this question head on of the Lord coming quickly. And it says, verse 5 of 2 Peter 3, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, in godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And as some, we understand that the only reason that the Lord hasn't come is because of His long suffering, that He is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And we see His mercy, His long suffering to mankind, trying to bring more into the fold. But we realize He will come quickly, that He will come as a thief in the night, that it will be in an hour, day and an hour, that we think not that the Son of Man will come. And so it is something that we need to heed His warning. He says, I'm coming. And so we need to be ready for His coming. And we think of that, that He says that He is coming and His reward is with Him to give every man according as his work shall be. And we think what He spoke to the church in Philadelphia, He said, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That is something that He does want to honor us, that if we are faithful to Him, that there are crowns to be won. And we realize, of course, that it is He that is worthy of all the glory, and when it comes to the end, that we will simply cast our crowns at His feet. But He will honor us as we are faithful to Him. If you turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. And it's something that we go through trials sometimes through our life, and we wonder why, and sometimes we want to give up, but we realize that we need to be faithful, we need to endure. There is a crown of life that is awaiting us, and we need to hold fast our faith, to not panic, to not speak against God in any way, but that we would trust Him, be faithful, and we can trust that we shall receive this crown of life. If you turn with me also to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is where Paul is speaking to Timothy just prior to his death. And he says, 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. And that's the thought, that if we're faithful serving Him, that we want to... We are doing what we are to do as believers. If we are being faithful in what He has called us to do, whatever that might be, that we know that when He appears, we won't be ashamed, that we shall be glad to see Him. And just the fact that when we love His appearing, when we're glad to see Him, that we shall receive a crown of righteousness. And it makes sense that if we're doing wrong and He was to come, that we would be ashamed, that we would want to hide, that we would say, no, Lord, not yet, just delay it a bit, let me get my act together before You come. But it is something that we realize that He gives us a great deal of time, but when He does come, the time will be no more. And that we need to make the most of the time that we have, that He gives us these warnings through His Word, just as with the seven churches of Revelation, so that they could make the changes necessary, so that prior to Him coming again, that they would be doing right, so that when He did come, that they could give a testimony that they had been faithful. And that is what we want as individuals and as a church, that we could say, as John said at the end, where the Lord said, surely I come quickly, amen. He said, even so come, Lord Jesus, that we look forward to His coming, we yearn for His coming. We just trust that He will bring all things under His feet, that He will fulfill all of His Scripture, and that His timing is perfect. And so it is imperative for us that we heed the warnings of Scripture, that we live as we ought to in the day that we have, that we hold fast that which we have, that is right, that we do not lose our crowns, but that when He comes, that we would be glad to see Him, that we would be honored to be in His presence, and that He will take us to be with Him forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You once again for Your Word, Lord. We thank You for the warnings it gives, Lord, for our sakes, to so that we might correct where we're going astray, so that You would be pleased with us, Lord, when we come before You. Just pray You would help us to be faithful. Help us to stay true to You. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you'd stand with me once more. And let's turn to hymn number 74. And we'll sing Christ Returneth. Hymn number 74, As We Stand. On the first.
Maybe at morn, when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world His own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. It may be at morn day, it may be at twilight, it may be perchance that the blackness of midnight will burst into light in the blaze of His glory when Jesus receives His own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. Oh, joy, oh, delight, should we go without dying? No sickness, no sadness, no dread and no crying. Caught up through the clouds with our Lord into glory when Jesus receives His own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen.
Amen. Dad, could you close in prayer?
Concerned about each one of us, and that you want to receive